Now welcome on the call the head coach of the Elon Phoenix, Tony Ciciani. Good morning, Coach Ciciani.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning. A late bye week, kind of unique as we talked about a week ago, but how did you use that? What was the focus in practice this week?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit unique. We, you know, recovery was important. You know, we took some days off early in the week last week to get some guys back who've been banged up. We practiced Thursday and Friday and got some good work, just continuing to develop skills, technique, and got some good work. It's been a chance for our guys to step back a little bit, though, you know, especially our seniors, and, you know, process the significance of going into your last college football game.
Just kind of building on that a little bit, what's the biggest thing that you'd like to see from your team on Saturday? What have you talked about for them going into this game against Towson?
You know, we're looking at this game, Rob, like it's a comprehensive final exam, you know, for football class here, you know, and, you know, we want to, you know, come out and play well, and for our seniors being their final game, we want them to be successful and taste victory and play well, and for our underclassmen, you know, it's their last chance to put their game on film, you know, going into the off season.
Last week we touched on Chandler Brayboy, who had a nice game as a freshman, and you know the new NCAA rule that allows you to look at guys up to four games. Are there some other young guys that you'll try to use that to be able to take a look at this week?
Yeah, we've really taken advantage of the redshirt rule. You know, we're going to end up redshirting 13 of our freshmen this year, and really only burned two red shirts, really Trayvon Jones and Bo Sanders, two safeties, and a long snapper, actually Ryan Wilkins. So we're certainly taking advantage of the rule. You know, we've had some guys who played four games earlier, and we had to shut them down a little bit. But guys who are playing now, you know, Jabril Williams is an offensive guard who's played some and rotated in last week, and Chandler Brayboy's playing well. Antonio White's a corner who's played some now. So we're really taking advantage of that.
What do you think just has been the biggest benefit of that rule across the board?
It's a chance to give some kids an opportunity to play and see what they've got, and you can do it early in the season to decide whether or not you want to burn that red shirt and play them the rest of the season. It also provides depth as you get later into the season, and you may lose guys with season-ending injuries, or as guys get banged up later on in the season. You've got some freshmen that you've developed and who have put the work in and who've earned the playing time, you know, if they can help you win.
You're closing on the end of year one as a head coach. What are the biggest challenges to this point, and are you excited about the future and direction of where the program's headed?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic about our program. I'm optimistic about our seniors who are graduating and the men that they've become and what the future holds for them, and I'm optimistic for our returning players and the culture of our program and the trajectory of our program. You know, we've had our challenges. You know, we've fallen short of our goals this season, being a 4-6 team right now. But, you know, we're a few plays away from being a 6-4 team, and that is the CAA. And, you know, it was evident again this week, you know, looking at the CAA and how some of the games went.
For the number of years you've had in the conference and assistant, what's been the biggest challenge of switching offices and being the head coach?
You know, you just spend a lot of time on some things that have nothing to do with football. You know, that takes up some of your time, and then splitting that time for football between offense and defense, and you know, having a good handle on the program as a whole and the culture of the program.
You touched about the CAA and the depth. I think we go into last week with 10 of the 12 teams or 9 of the 12 teams with at least 3 conference wins. Is the parity is? It's always good year in and year out, but is the amount of parity maybe been as much or as deep as you've seen it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's been like this in the league for a while now, but literally you might as well throw the records out, and you know, anybody can beat anybody in our league right now.
Your team heads to Towson, a team that has won three in a row. Just kind of offensively and defensively, talk about some of the challenges they'll present for you.
Yeah, I think they're playing really well right now. They're a hot football team, coming off three CAA wins, and they're playing well on both sides of the football. They've got a good physical run game going offensively, and a quarterback that makes good decisions from an RPO standpoint, scoring 31 points a game the last three games. And defensively, they're playing well. I mean, they're giving up 16 points a game the last three games against conference opponents. They've been very opportunistic from a takeaway standpoint. They're a good football team, and they got a lot to play for this weekend against us.
You've seen Tom Flacco now for a couple of years, once on film and once in person. How difficult is he to stop, and why does he cause so many problems?
Yeah, he's talented, and he's a guy who can beat you with his arm and with his legs. He's very good at extending plays. You know, you can blitz him, but you better get him on the ground because he's elusive. He can extend the plays, and he's got a group of receivers, you know, in Leatherberry, Smith, Street. I mean, those guys are playing well, and they do a nice job from a scramble mechanic standpoint of coming back to the ball and giving him somewhere to go with that football.
As you said, in the past few weeks, they have switched, I guess maybe since the injury to Shane Simpson, to more of a power running game. As you've looked at different tape on them, how are they different over this last 3 weeks?
Yeah, they've got some confidence in their downhill run game right now. Edie Thenrad, he's a physical runner. He can break some tackles, and him and Felice Platt, they're both physical guys, and when they get their pads downhill, they can break tackles, and they're big up front. They're doing a good job of getting movement as an offensive line, and they're doing a good job protecting their quarterback.
And then, as you said, three games now that they're at Ohio Island, just 16 points a game over this three-game win streak. What looks different defensively for them?
You know, they're led by Robert Hayward. I mean, he's sideline to sideline. He's disruptive. He'll make plays in the backfield. He'll create TFLs, and Bryce Carter's another talented player for him. And out back, you know, and on the edge of the defense, Keon Payne is a really good edge defender, and him and Colby Tippett have both been very opportunistic and creating takeaways.
Before I let you go, what do you feel like are the keys for your team to go up there and get a victory?
You know, we got to come out early, and we got to play well and eliminate the mistakes that have been hurting us. You know, the shooting ourselves in the foot and being our own worst enemy. We've got to come out and be able to be balanced and run the football and sustain drives and be efficient in the passing game. And defensively, you got to stop the run because if you don't, you know, they're going to keep coming at you downhill, and keep the ball in front of us. Don't allow them to take shots over our head, and that's how we'll win the football game.
All right, Tony, thanks for your time today and all season long. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Rob.
All right, thank you.